And welcome to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. I'm still stunned at what Exxon makes every day and also that they're having to store up snow. Could that be a sign that global warming is here, that climate change is real? Oh, my goodness. That's why I can't stop doing this program, because the most important news that is impacting everyone and certainly going to impact everyone to follow us is not getting covered by the mainstream. And we do it here every week. We look for the most important, interesting, and timely stories. And today, one of those stories is about bottled water, one of our favorite topics here on the program. We're going to be speaking in just a moment with Grace Morris. She is a national campaign organizer with Corporate Accountability, with their international campaign challenging corporate control of water. Corporate Accountability has been on this program over the years. They do all kinds of action events, just kind of like Rainforest Action Network. They're in your face where it matters, when it matters most. And today they are kicking off, sounds like a new phase of this effort to get plastic water bottle banned from bottle plastic. What am I trying to say? Plastic bottles of water banned from national parks. Grace, why don't you join me now and help me out? In our second half, we'll be talking about climate change. A great new series is coming from Boston University on climate change and the impacts of cities on greenhouse gas emissions. Hey, Grace, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Betsy. It's great to be here, and thanks for that introduction.
Garbled as it was, I guess I have a block against bottled water that comes in plastic, because it is such a scourge, and it is so unnecessary, and it is, so successful from the industry's point of view. Why have you decided to target national parks and a couple in particular at this time?
Yeah, well, as you alluded to, we've been working to do away with bottled water and promote the tap and promote strong public water systems and protect community water rights with a number of different institutions. And right now we're focused on national parks, really because Coke and the bottled water industry are using our national treasures at the public's expense. And so we know that national parks are clear champions of environmental stewards, and that our national parks are not intended to serve as a concession stand for the bottled water industry. And so
I remember yeah. interviewing someone from Corporate Accountability when you launched the Think Outside the Bottle campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That was, a few years back? And tell us what happened with that and what the goal is for this particular phase of the campaign.
Oh, absolutely. Be happy to. And yes, we have been running Think Outside the Bottle, this national public education and action campaign to challenge the misleading marketing of the bottled water industry for going on 6 years now, and specifically targeting bottled water industry leaders Nestle, Coke, and Pepsi on their misleading marketing practices. And we've worked at this point with over 140 cities across the country, and San Francisco was the first to phase out taxpayer spending on bottled water and send a clear message about the importance of our public water systems. And we've also worked with hundreds of businesses, tens of thousands of individuals to choose tap over bottled. And then I also get to work with our college activists and a lot of universities that are making a strong statement for promoting water as a human right, not a commodity to be bought and sold for profit. So national parks have been a new ally, and we've seen great leadership from national parks like the Grand Canyon, like Saguaro, like Zion. And so this just is a really common sense next step for parks to take in terms of greening their operations, which they're already doing some good work doing.
Well, you must be having some impact, because Dasani, owned by Coca-Cola, I believe, is ramping up their efforts to say that there's no problem with bottled water. And by the way, it's a healthier alternative, because a lot of these parks and other public places are selling Coca-Cola and other drinks, in plastic bottles. So, why pick on water, which would be funny that they admit healthier than their other products?
I'm so glad you make that point. It's something that Coke and it's Dasani and Pepsi and its Aquafina and Nestle and their Pure Life and all their other brands. It's a point that comes up a lot, and it's really, we see it as a false choice, that this isn't about water versus soda. This is about water versus bottled water versus tap water, and clearly bottled water is irresponsible and it is bad for our environment, definitely for our public water systems, and on an individual level, bad for our pocketbook. It's really expensive compared to our taps.
And Grace, I just want to interrupt our interview just for a second to say that speaking of bad for the environment, the PRN studio has just alerted me that there's been a big oil spill. Authorities are now saying that 14 cars of a Canadian Pacific Railroad have derailed in western Minnesota. At least three of them have spilled or leaked crude oil. Apparently it was a 94-car train heading south near Parker's Prairie this morning when it lost air pressure, went into an emergency braking mode, and 14 cars derailed. The significant part of this story is that more than 25,000 gallons of oil supposedly have been spilled and are still leaking at this time. So wanted to mention that bad news story. Sorry to bring that bummer in, but that is the reality of, you know, having things like oil, you know, in our environment, and pipelines and trains carrying a lot of oil. We've been talking a lot about the tar sands controversy. There's a little bit of a development on that. We'll get to that later in the show when we talk about climate change in the second segment. But Grace, let's go back to water. What is happening with younger people? Are they less likely to embrace, you know, bottled water and plastic bottled drinks, you know, in general, or are they, you know, as oblivious as sometimes it seems the rest of Americans' consumers are to the environmental impact, not to mention the health, you know, problems with drinking soda, but also just the chemicals that can leach out of plastic bottles if, let's say, left in a car where it's warm and the sun is, you know, beating down?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the youth movement right now is really strong in promoting water as a human right and ecological trust. We've seen more and more colleges take this step. So Washington, St. Louis, and Brown University in 2007, 2008 were the first to make earlier commitments. But at this point, dozens of universities have made bottled water-free commitments, and that's because of student led activism on campus that is really challenging corporate control of water and, you know, recognizes the global water crisis and is taking action within their own institutions. And So I'm really heartened by the energy of student activists that said we are all vulnerable to propaganda, and the misleading marketing of the industry has it's changed over the years. We've seen the messages changed, and this, you know, what we're doing today across the country with events and moving forward and working with national parks is we just keep finding new ways that the industry manages to mislead the public about our tap water, about its products, and about its environmental impacts.
I don't know if you're aware, but last time I did a story on this problem was interviewing a woman who is, I believe, in her late 80s. Jean Hill is her name. I believe Concord, Massachusetts, and she single-handedly led an effort to get bottled water banned in terms of the sale of plastic bottles of water in her community. And she is, you know, very feisty, very determined, and very successful. So if we have people at that end of the life cycle and also young people aware, we just got to work on that big bulge in the middle.
It's really true, and I do happen to know from on the ground that Jean did have some friends.
Did you guys help, perhaps?
Well, Jean is actually Jean and Jill Appel, the two main organizers in Concord that have done incredible work, are actually members of Corporate Accountability International.
Absolutely, they should be. And, you know, it really, one of the points really in bringing her up is that, you know, the generation before mine, my grandparents, you know, they went through, you know, the war. Some of them went through the Depression, and they just, you know, would not needlessly create garbage and throw things away, you know, without even having any, you know, guilt about it or consciousness. And so that generation didn't do so bad. It was really the next one, sometimes our parents or we baby boomers, and hopefully you sound like you're young, and I'm always trying to talk to my teenage daughter about, you know, what's going on environmentally, that there will be new consciousness, certainly around climate change, but I wonder if it kind of trickles down, if you will, to, you know, things like bottled water.
The interesting thing, I think, about about bottled water is that it didn't exist about 30 years ago.
How do we live without it, just like our cell phones and the Internet?
And, I mean, I think this really speaks to why we're supporting national parks and being bottled water free, and why we've worked with stewards of our public water systems and thousands of individuals, is because the manufactured demand that the bottled water industry created through its misleading marketing and really through tactics to try to convince people that the only place to get clean, safe water was from a bottle, which could not be further from the truth. Our public water systems are much more highly regulated, and so it is this question of how did we get to this point, and now that we recognize this point, how do we make sure that we are promoting our strong public water systems and recognizing all of the different environmental impacts of bottled water from the extraction and what that's doing to communities that have a Nestle in their backyard, to the packaging, to the transportation.
So what kind of resistance are you getting from the people who run the parks?
Oh, we've had really great conversations with the people, and you would kind of expect this. It's been really a wonderful new constituency for us to work with. We work with a number of wonderful champions of our water, of our water resources, and we found a great ally in our national park employees and park rangers and the superintendents.
So it's really the industry. It's the industry is the one that's pushing back.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Not surprising.
Not surprising at all. And it has been, I think, really inspiring to just hear how Grand Canyon and Zion's World and some the parks that have already taken these steps and how they can support fellow parks and taking what is really a common sense thing for parks. I mean, this really fits into their green.
Absolutely.
They're
all about nature and preserving the environment and, you know, rangers out there, you know, loving nature. That's why people are drawn to that kind of work.
Yes.
Generally.
Yes.
I remember a few years back, it seemed like you guys were making a dent in the sales of bottled drinks, drinks to go, especially plastic. I think I read somewhere that sales are up again. Is that just because they keep inventing more of these drinks? And it's such a variety. It's, you know, enough to give you a headache when you look, if you are on the road, let's say, and you have to run into a 7-Eleven or one of those, you know, gas station markets, and it's like, whoa, just looking for something quick to drink. They've invented, you know, variations on variations of different liquids.
Absolutely.
Whether they're safe to consume or not.
Right. I know. Every time I see a new ad for, like, flavored or water or, like, some sort of special water, it just gets me. But, I think we were reading the same thing because I was literally just thinking about this, that interpretation of the data before I got on the line here. And just to speak a little bit to the success and then I'll come back to that point about how the sort of data from the industry is being interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
When we initially started this campaign, when we did a poll a couple of years ago, we have found that through Think Outside the Bottle and all the great work of other allies, that nearly 1 in 5 adults have switched from bottled water back to the tap.
That's significant.
Which is really significant. And so, and then what you just brought up with how the water market is releasing some of its data is we've seen there's a couple of different data points that you can look at. And basically we have seen that the amount of water really come to a plateau in many ways. So it's like the water is being sold for less, essentially. So profits. So some of the revenue reports, it's just sort of interesting. There's a number of different ways to read the data, but we're really encouraged by what we really see as the volume of water plateau, and then, you know, we're working to make it drop.
And I understand why bottled water in plastic bottles in particular is especially bad, just because, A, you know, we don't need to drink water that way. And B, plastic, you know, tends to not get recycled. It's not very recycle friendly, and it is made from petroleum after all. So that would not be the healthiest choice in a lot of ways. But what about, you know, cans of Coca-Cola or other drinks? You know, is there a better way to consume it? And do more aluminum cans tend to get recycled than plastic bottles? Do you have any data that would indicate that, so if people wanted to make a better choice if they were in transit?
Well, this is such a great point to make because this is something that the parks that have gone bottled water free, a lot of them have specifically really honed in on what water stewardship means with their policies. And we're one of the things about this whole campaign is that, you know, Think Outside the Bottle is about, you know, making sure we're protecting water as a human right. And so seeing water in any sort of disposable packaging is definitely not environmental. Because you're still getting all of the other impacts in terms of the environment, from the extraction practices to transportation, and then also just we all sort of know that reduce is the most effective of the three R's. And so the tap is really, I mean, our public water systems are something that I think it's easy to forget, because we all turn on the tap and it's right there, but nothing. I really can't think of anything that could be more convenient than being able to turn on clean, safe water everywhere you go. And so what these, in the case of the parks, what the parks have done to improve access to tap water through filling stations, all around key visitor centers, is a great step, not only for the stewardship of our, you know, valuable national treasures, but also for the stewardship of what, you know, we see as the most essential public resource, our water.
You're a very intelligent young woman, Grace, and I see that you graduated from Yale, so now I know.
Are you going to throw that one back at me?
Well, I mentioned that because they have a great, you know, Department of Forestry and Environmental Studies division where we often interview, you know, people. Anthony Lazarowitz was one, and I believe Gus Speth is out of that department, and so many others. What led you, just on a personal note, to, you know, go into this area of environmental, you know, consciousness and restoration? I see that you started out doing Gulf restoration work, I imagine, in the wake of Hurricane Katrina.
Yes. That is initially what brought me, or where I moved sort of from the north. I grew up in the northeast to the south, and then definitely loved the work I was doing in New Orleans. What brings me to this work is that, you know, personally for me, issues, it's just the combination of the fact that environmental issues are just the root of just the most important issue for both human life and for the planet, and then also that corporations are at the root of these abuses to human rights and the environment, and it's really important that we are challenging these abuses and making sure that everyone has access to basic human rights like water. And so, you know, I definitely saw firsthand what global corporate abuse looked like in New Orleans, and that's only compelled me to move forward and really work for, I'm super excited to work for Corporate Accountability, just because we are challenging these issues at the national and international level, and, you know, really focusing on the root of these abuses, which, in the case of water, is the global water cartel, where you have the bottlers that we're focused on with this national initiative, but then you also have the water privateers, Suez and Veolia.
And that was all before we saw a record drought in this country, which in some areas still continues. We just heard, you know, that Atlanta is fighting over water with, neighboring states. It's real, and yet it seems that that consciousness has not quite penetrated mainstream, you know, zeitgeist. Why do you think that is, Grace?
Well, so really, it's something that we think a lot about here, and it's true. I mean, we are facing a global water crisis, and there are, I think, you know, here in the U.S., we realize that more and more, and you have great documentaries like Tapped that make the connections between bottled water and Coca-Cola, just tapping into Atlanta's public water. We've worked with communities that are directly impacted here in the U.S. But it is something that globally communities are really impacted with today. And so we're talking about water giants and their financial backers exploiting the water crisis to really try to transfer public water into private hands. And so we know the solution, which the U.S. pretty much proves, is that public water systems work. And we are heartened by the fact that there's new leadership at the World Bank. The focus of our international work is to really compel the World Bank to use its agency to protect the human right to water and to stop enabling the privatization and to stop essentially really enabling Suez and Veolia and these other water privatizers and profiteers to take over public water systems around the world. So it's something that we're working on both the national and international level, and Think Outside the Bottle is really about connecting those dots so that, you know, we're all thinking outside the bottle here in the U.S. and protecting our most valuable public resource.
And last week was World Water Day, and so I'm wondering why you chose this week to get your message out there again.
Last week was great. Monday was actually International Bottled Water Free Day, where we do a lot of actions with our Canadian friends, Polaris and some others. And then Friday, World Water Day. We went into, it was essentially, it was just better timing in terms of a lot of the work that we've been building up towards, and we really wanted to have some good announcements to highlight on the heels of World Water Day, and it's been great to really do that and highlight bottled water free parks and new iconic parks like Mount Rainier and Golden Gate that are making some really positive steps and potentially will be the next to join the Bottled Water Free National Park crew.
Yes, and we're just about out of time, but I want to, if I may, make a plug for a couple of other documentaries on water that I've seen recently. One is called Water Wars, and it looks at, water battles in Bangladesh and India and perhaps portending what is going to come around the rest of the world, you know, as these difficult decisions about who has, you know, access and rights to water. Well, we all do, but when politics gets involved, it can be, it can get dangerous because those that are in the know predict that that's what our next, you know, wars will be about is resources, and if it's not oil, it will be water. So that's a great one, Water Wars, and someone I know, Suzanne Bauman, worked on that one. That's how I happened to get it in my hands. And then also Chasing Ice, which you probably saw. I mean, that's about melting ice, which, of course, is water, and anyone who saw that could not have helped but be impressed with how rapidly, you know, the glaciers are melting.
Yeah, and the news reports, your point about the snow, my first thought was, oh, it sounds like that's another corporate control of water issue that we're going to have to engage on. Hoarding snow.
If you look at the fossil fuels that we're burning that are melting the polar ice caps,
yep.
It's all connected to, you know, what we're doing, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not. But let's face it, the well-funded, deep-pocketed fossil fuel industry is continuing to, you know, run ads all over CNN and the other major networks telling us that natural gas is great and we've got plenty of oil and coal is clean. And if you, you know, swallow that, well, good luck to all of us, because they're really able to confuse a lot of Americans, and that's why we continue to see, part of the reason I think we're seeing lack of action, lack of outrage, lack of people really understanding what's at stake.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Thank you so much, Grace Morris. Really appreciate it. With your Think Outside the Bottle campaign, good luck getting bottled water out of parks like Yosemite and other places where we really should be thinking about nature even more than usual. So really appreciate your work there with corporate accountability, and we'll check back with you and see how it goes. And
All right, thank
we'll check
you.
Back with some folks from Boston University. We'll check in with them, I should say, in a couple of minutes. They've just done a first-of-a-kind series for the Boston University paper on what is the impact of emissions in cities like Boston's and how can we measure it anyway, right after these messages. A couple of folks with me from the Boston area, and I've got Boston on my brain because my daughter just got accepted to Boston University as well.